Ramsey TV.
People were taught to hate Trump because they were told that Trump hated everybody. Is it okay to start the show with this? I mean, this is just kind of left over from yesterday, but it will lead into today's topic. Oh, yeah, Trump was a woman hater. He was a misogynist. He was a racist. He hated blacks. He hated Latin people. He hated whites, for that matter. Definitely, yeah, he hated women. I already mentioned that one. He hated immigrants. He just hated. Oh, he hated gays. He was homophobic. He was Islamophobic. He definitely hated Islamic people. And none of this was true. Absolutely none of this was true. But the fear merchants stirred this up because they feared him. Why did they fear him? I told you yesterday, he promised to take power away from the centralized location, which was Washington, D.C., and give it to the people. Washington, D.C. don't like that. And so they started a fear campaign, a campaign to fear Donald Trump. He was a nice guy before that. Strange. Nobody accused him of being any of these things. Everybody liked Donald Trump before he ran for president and stated his goals. And they knew that this guy was going to expose the system. He was going to show how government is over-entangled. Government is top-heavy. It's too complicated. Really, problems can be solved very easily and very simply. Oh, they didn't want anybody to know that. And so they painted Trump as just this terrible, awful person. And 30% of the population believed it. Some people maybe still believe it. There's this thing called mass formation psychosis, where you get people to believe something. If you tell it to them often enough, and you say it emotionally, and you get enough people on that bandwagon, then people will buy into it because it gives meaning to their life. These are people who are searching. They really don't know who they are. These are the people, I guess they say 30% of the population can be hypnotized. The rest of the people can't be, whether they're too practical or they're too in their own minds. They can't be as influenced as other people are. But apparently 30% of the population are prone to popular lies, and they'll believe them no matter what. And once they grasp onto a lie, they cannot let it go. No fact will talk them out of it. And you see that today. No matter what good thing Trump did, there's no fact at all that'll talk them out of Trump is bad. Trump is evil. Again, it's a psychosis. It's a mental problem. And all the fear merchants that I mentioned yesterday, they prey on people who are susceptible to suggestion. Satan is the number one purveyor of fear. I gave a talk in Des Moines on the armor of God and how the armor protects you from Satan's lies. And his lies are based on fear. Fear that you're really not a good person. Fear that God really can't think that well of you as you think he does. Plants the fear that you're not sure whether you're really a member of the body of Christ. Am I? I don't know. Fear that you're not justified. All these fear that you're not really saved and you never will be saved. Fear that the scriptures themselves are a lie. Paul's a false prophet. The book of Revelation does not belong in the Bible. Plants all these awful seeds of fear and doubt. And people who are susceptible, they believe it. This is why Paul encourages us to take up the armor of God. The armor of God. Today's video, I wanted to start with that. It's a little left over from yesterday, but it does lead into the topic of today, which is being assured in yourself who you are in Christ and realizing that what you have is so special, so individualized, it makes you so golden, so wonderful that the world cannot touch you. But the only way we can enjoy this, and the only way we can then keep the world from influencing us, whether it's by fear or by riches or by fame, the only way you can prevent that, the best way to prevent that, is to be solidified, to be sure of your place in Christ and to realize how precious it is. And if it helps you to think of it, you can tell yourself that these people of the world don't have it. There's something you have that they don't have. Sure. They have a nicer house than you. They have a nicer spouse than you. They have a nicer car than you. They have a better job than you. They're more beautiful than you. They're sexier than you. They have more hair than you. They're smarter than you. They have a better education than you. And on and on and on and on. And we're continuously comparing ourselves with people who are freaking doomed. Comparing ourselves with people who, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:6, the chiefs of this eon are being discarded. The chiefs, the big shots, the beautiful, the wealthy, the well-educated, they're being discarded. And there's few of these people who are in the body of Christ. So if you need to comfort yourself with that, go ahead. You know, like, you have something that they don't have. Why are you comparing yourself with these people and finding yourself condemned? And you build the fear. You become your own fear merchant. Because when you compare yourself with other people, you fear that you don't add up. But wait a minute. Who cares if you don't add up in this life? Who cares? The important thing is, do you add up in the body of Christ? And we know you add up there, because membership in the body of Christ is not based on your behavior. You know you add up there because Jesus Christ is the one God looks at. He sees you through the prism of Christ, because Jesus Christ is the representative man, and his righteousness via his faith was given to you through no merit of your own. That should insulate you from any anxiety or angst or anger you feel when you look at the success of other people, or even other people in the body of Christ. This happens even in the body of Christ, and Paul warns against it. I'm going to get to that verse in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 12. It talks about comparing yourselves among yourselves. Now, I'm going to read an email. No, I'm not. I'm going to read a comment that was made on my video. You might think this is unrelated at first, but this is going to be helpful. And again, I would not read this, obviously, if it were not public. And it was public. And I don't want the woman who wrote this to me to feel like I'm picking on her or anything. And again, I wouldn't even be reading this if it were not public. It's still posted. I'm looking at it right now. It was a comment that came on video 1311. Andrea Yates drowned her 5 children. But wait, there's a comment before that. I'm going to get to that one. But on MCTV 1309, World Movements, Part 2, I received the first warning from a woman named Annette. Now, Annette, I'm not picking on you. I'm picking on your viewpoint. And I'm using it as a teaching moment because this is so educational. I want people to understand this. Annette has a big problem with the 1.8 seconds of my introduction that has the, quote, girls, unquote, in the bikinis. All right, in case that goes past you too quickly, here's the clip. There they are. Okay. And they're not even girls. They're mannequins. Okay. But they're in the kind of swimwear that people wear here in Fort Lauderdale and other places where it is warm and beachy. Beachy keen here. The purpose of my introduction was to give you a Fort Lauderdale flavor. The joke was, I wanted to give a South Florida failure. That was a Freudian slip. I wanted to give a South Florida flavor. But I looked at the weather forecast that day, and it was like a tropical storm for 3 days, but I needed to film the intro. So it was a failure on that point. And I said, but that's more humorous. How funny is that, that in trying to relay to my audience a South Florida flavor, I show rain and cold, and there's no girls on the beach, but there's fake girls behind this glass. It was all joke. Like, this is not really how Florida is, and the best I can do is to show mannequins in bikinis. But listen to this. Hello, Martin. Slightly off topic, I would say so. I ask that you would consider editing your lead-in video to remove the bikini girls. That image is deeply offensive to me as a woman, given its overt sexual nature. Overt sexual nature? I don't know. I just think it's three mannequins wearing bikinis. But anyway, let's continue. I don't believe it speaks of conformity to the mind of Christ. Well, it was not my goal in the intro to my show, and especially not in that 1.8 seconds, to speak of conformity to the mind of Christ. What I wanted to do was show fake bikini girls in a storefront. on a rainy day. That's all I was trying to do. And I think I succeeded spectacularly. So there's a confusion right away as to my purpose, as to my goal, as to what I was trying to achieve in filming that apparently over sexist scene. I don't believe it speaks of conformity to the mind of Christ, who is radically protective and respectful to women and considerate of their vulnerability. Protective and respectful. But these mannequins, they're the ones that put themselves behind the glass. I didn't do it. I just filmed them. Apparently, they want to be seen. Otherwise, they wouldn't have put themselves in the storefront window. So, the mannequins, the plastic women without heads, arms, or legs, they wanted the world to see them. So they're not very protective of themselves. I didn't encourage them to do it. I just photographed them. Jesus might have done the same if he was looking for an intro to his show. I don't know. I'm not Jesus. Just a guy trying to make a funny little point for 1.8 seconds in an intro to his show. Considerate of their vulnerability. I will say this. There are live women in bikinis in Fort Lauderdale when the weather is accommodating. And I am respectful of their vulnerability. I am even respectful of their privacy, even though I believe they totally want to be seen. That's why they're out there. But I respect them. And I will tell you, Annette, and my audience today, that I respect them to the point that I refuse. Well, let me put it this way. I have determined to make a pact with my eyes. When I see a girl in a bikini, I will only look at those parts that are covered. That's how careful I am about the vulnerability of women. That's how respectful I am and protective I am of women in bikinis. I'll only look at the parts that are covered. And to the accusation that I'm against the women's movement. I am definitely not against the women's movement. I'm a champion of the women's movement, especially when I'm walking behind it. So if anybody's heard these things about me, they're flat out lies. As well, it was mentioned yesterday on another channel where it was used to back up a claim that you have in the past evidenced some sort of soft approach to porn. I have no idea if this is true or not, but removing the bikinis will go some way to neutralize criticism in this area. Well, Annette, I am open to criticism. You notice I did not delete your comments because I found them enlightening, a little bit entertaining. I'm sorry to have to say that. And again, opportunity to teach. I'm going to make a scriptural point here. Wait, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. And you're going to go, oh, yeah. You might have guessed it already based on my introduction there. That you have in the past evidenced some sort of soft approach to porn. Somebody was definitely defaming me or attempting to defame me because I also do this in the present. So I have been clearly lied about by whoever made that claim. It's not just in the past. It's ridiculous. Feel free to remove the comment once you have read it. But see, I don't want to remove this comment. You know I answered this, of course. And the first thing I pointed out in my answer, I'm not going to read my answer verbatim because I want to go to the next comment. I mentioned that the mannequins, the plastic things, were sexual without being sexist. It is assumed by many women today that sexual is commensurate with sexist. But it's not. We're all sexual, Annette. God created us male and female. The first question people ask when somebody has a baby is it a boy or a girl? That's sexual. And so it is at the forefront. It is at the foundation of our identity. By God. God created them male and female. It's a glorious thing. As for me, I say to Annette, I'm a completely healthy male who loves the female body and the male body too. Not as much, but I respect the male body because it's beautiful art by God in both cases. And being very earnest here, and in all seriousness, I do have the deepest sympathies for anyone who's experienced sexual trauma, and I know a lot of women have. Annette has experienced some trauma, which I'm going to get into in the next comment, but I feel terrible about that. But I'm not responsible for it. And me taking 1.8 seconds of plastic mannequins attractively attired off my intro is not going to change. It's not going to change the sexual trauma that any woman has experienced. All right, and now I want to read the latest comment from MZTV 1311, the show I did on Andrea Yates. This is what's going to lead me to my scriptural point. And you're going to love it. And again, thank you, Annette. I hope you continue to watch the show in spite of the fact that now I am not going to take that off my show because it's funny. People get it. One guy actually said, this was a couple years ago, I really like those bikini girls at the beginning of your show. He didn't even notice that they were mannequins. He didn't even notice they were not real, which really cracked me up. Apparently, he too respects women enough to only look at the parts that are covered. So, Martin, this is her. I'm totally in agreement with you on this. In other words, with the eternal torment issue. But I'm still trying very hard to help you understand why I want you to edit your introductory video. Let me share something of a personal nature. Well, it can't be that personal if she's posting it. So that's why I feel free to read it. And again, this is a teachable moment. Through my teenage and young adult years, it was common for men to comment on the appearance of women and girls within their hearing. It still is today. Annette, I will tell you this, that it has been this way since Adam and Eve in the garden. I am convinced that Adam commented immediately on the appearance of the first woman. I don't have any evidence of this. No textual evidence or no codex that has been discovered reports this. So I can't back this up in a scholarly way, but I think Adam's first word might have been cowabunga. Cowabunga. It's been happening since the beginning. Here comes. Many women are terribly affected by this. For me, I decided it was necessary to have the shape of my nose altered, even though now I can see there was nothing wrong with it. Two friends decided to have breast reductions, which left them unable to breastfeed their babies. But the psychological harm never goes away. Both those girls developed permanent, stooped postures as a way of escaping male scrutiny of their chest. Really? Well, seriously, I feel bad for these people. I feel bad for you and these people. But you got into this fix yourself by comparing yourself with other people and by not loving yourself, by having self-image issues where you hate yourself to the point that the only way you can get satisfaction is if other people are torn down. You must tear down beauty. You must attack the beautiful people because somehow you blame them for your self-image issues. These are your issues and the issues of your friends. Why did they go to the expense of a breast reduction? Why not just shave their heads and wear muumuus or wear Hillary Clinton-style pantsuits? That would have solved the entire problem if these girls were so against male gazing or even male comments. There's not so much of that going on anymore because we can get into legal trouble just by saying that you look good. So this doesn't happen anymore. But just shave your head, wear a potato sack or a pantsuit or a muumuu, and the problem's solved. I don't get it. The psychological harm never goes away. This harm is self-inflicted. The people who are beautiful in this world, the people on the women on the billboards or on the TV shows or on the cover of magazines at the grocery store, it's not their fault. You want to tear them down to make yourself feel better? Do you see how wrong that is? Do you see there's a problem here? When you start comparing yourself and you don't see yourself in Christ, this is why I'm saying that you have the greatest gift ever in Christ. You are a member of the body of Christ. This is so special. This is so singular. It is so unique. 1 Corinthians 2:6, the chiefs of this eon are being discarded. God is taking away the people who you look at and you let them make you feel less than, even though this is not even the realm of your competition. You shouldn't be competing with these people. You should be able to look at a beautiful woman and say, wow, what a masterpiece of God. Just because she's beautiful doesn't mean you suck. And I don't care what your body looks like. I don't have a six-pack. I don't have six-pack abs. I wish I did, but I don't. I'm not willing to do the work it would take to get six-pack abs. But I can honestly look at a dude with six-pack abs and admire the symmetry. I can admire the work that that guy did and the discipline, because it's not an easy thing to do. And I don't let it make any sort of commentary about my worth or my value. Just because that guy has a six-pack, one, I'm not going to suddenly go on a maniacal exercise program or a maniacal diet, ignore my work here just so I can look like that guy and not feel bad. That's the equivalent of you having the nose job. But neither am I going to tear him down. Neither am I going to go up to him and say, sir, I wish you quit walking around this beach with no shirt, because you're just too goddamn beautiful and I can't stand it because I don't have a six-pack. That's the equivalent of you wanting to remove these mannequins from my show. The 1.8 seconds that offends you. I'm sorry in that. I'm not mad at you. I'm just frustrated at your position. Because you're a member of the body of Christ, I'm assuming. You're a member of the body of Christ. You have the greatest position in the world. These mannequins aren't in the body of Christ. I checked. I went up to them before this show. Two of them are religious, but they believe in free will and the Trinity. The third one in the blue bikini, she believes in the salvation of all, but she doesn't base it on the cross of Christ. She's a Unitarian, if I remember correctly. So if it comforts you any, I'm just going to leave them on the show. That's okay. I know it's not okay, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm sorry. I'm a contrarian that way. But they're not in the body of Christ. You shouldn't. If you were acutely aware of the gift that you have, Annette, you would think that those mannequins would be envying you. Those mannequins would be looking at you and saying, oh my God, Annette's in the body of Christ. We would trade these beautiful plastic bodies without legs, without arms, without heads. We would trade these any day for what Annette has. And yet there's you, a future ruler of the universe, a son of God, a daughter of God. There's you feeling bad about yourself to the point that you want these women destroyed to make yourself feel better. There's you in the body of Christ playing the game of looking in the world and being envious. You're envious of freaking mannequins. And I know they're just representative of the bigger problem. It's just like in government where the government fans class envy. And really, the leftist government, their whole platform is to punish people. Vote for us and we'll punish the people who make you feel bad. You don't have a good job. You don't have much money. You don't live in a nice house. Well, these other people do. That's not fair. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. You vote for us and we'll punish those people. We'll tax the hell out of them until they have to move out of the country. We're going to even things out. And people, it's people who have no self-awareness, no self-respect, no self-dignity will vote that way simply to see people who achieve more than them, who are more beautiful than them, more successful than them, work harder than them, just to see them chiseled down a peg. You want to take these plastic women and just cut them down to punish them. What did they do to you? These people who vote Democrat simply to wreak punishment on their enemies, because that's the sick platform of that party. Instead, why don't they look to these people as examples? Your friends didn't need to do what they did. This all stems from a lack of awareness that one is in the body of Christ. I want to go to two scripture passages before I leave here. In 2 Corinthians 10:12, Paul says, "For we are not daring to judge ourselves by or compare ourselves with some who are commending themselves." So they are, Paul says, we are not comparing ourselves with other people. Not only those who might be worthy, but those who are especially not, those who are commending themselves, those who are making themselves out to be something. And Annette, the world, constantly making itself out to be something, trying to show itself to be sexy, to be hip, to be beautiful. Don't buy into it, but you've bought into it. You're giving them power. You're giving them the power. Don't give anybody that power. Because you have an inward beauty that these other women and these other mannequins just don't have. These mannequins don't even have heads, okay? At least you have a head. You have arms and legs. But I want to go to 1 Peter 3:3. You're familiar with this passage. Starting with verse 1, Peter talks about wives being subject to their own husbands. That if any are stubborn also, that is the husbands, as to the word, they will be gained without a word through the behavior of their wives, being spectators of your pure behavior in fear, whose adornment, here it is, whose adornment, let it not be the outside of braiding aught in the hair, and of decking with gold, of putting on garments, but in the hidden human of the heart, in the incorruptibility of a meek and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is costly. I'm going to apply this to you, Annette. In the body of Christ, what you have is costly. And Peter is not here saying that women should not wear gold. Look at Esther. My God, she was decked out big time. She went through the beauty treatments of the women for months, got herself perfumed, got herself in shape, probably did a lot of ab crunches, and oh yeah, lots of jewelry. So, but Peter's point is this, let not your adornment be the outside. In other words, you can have adornment on the outside. That, you think I'm reaching with that? No, I will prove it. Because Peter says, or putting on of garments. Don't let your adornment be the putting on of garments. So if somebody's going to try to make the argument that, well, this is forbidding women to be braiding things into their hair or be decking themselves out with gold, then you're going to have to be consistent. I don't expect you to be. You're going to have to be consistent and say, well, they're not to be wearing clothes either. They're not to be putting on garments. But Peter is not prohibiting these things. He's just saying, let not the outside be your adornment. You can look beautiful on the outside. You can wear jewelry. And the thing here is about wearing costly things. It's the same one Paul writes about a similar issue. It's not sexy clothing. It's riches. It's been dripping with diamonds and jewels that are valuable. See, these bikinis those girls were wearing, I know this for a fact, they cost $5.15. Okay, so they're very cheap, very cheap. Paul wouldn't have a problem with it. Peter wouldn't have a problem with it. They would have a problem with ostentatious jewelry that you got down at the J.B. Robinson's on Las Olas Boulevard. That's where the problem lies. But it's not a problem if that is not your adornment. It's not your true adornment. Let your true adornment, Annette, not be the outside, but the inside. The hidden human of the heart in the incorruptibility of a meek and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is costly. And so, Annette, thank you for indulging me here. But as you can see, I wanted to make an important point about comparing ourselves. There's another passage in Paul I didn't get to. Paul says, I don't judge myself. I don't let other people judge me. All judgment belongs to God, belongs to Christ. I don't let man's day judge me. That is, I don't let the, Paul says, I'm paraphrasing him now, I don't let the prevailing fashions of this system, this cosmos, judge me. I may not dress like they dress. I may not look like they look. I might not like the same music they do. I don't march to their drummer. Paul says, I don't let that judge me. And I don't even let you judge me, Paul says to the people he's writing to. And Paul goes even further and says, I don't even judge myself. He says, I'm not aware of anything in myself, but I'm not justified by that. God is my justifier. There you go. God is your justifier. And that focus on the things you have. anybody who has issues like this, and again, I'm sympathetic to self-image issues, to people who are so intimidated by those pictures on the magazine rack that they feel a compulsion to be like that, or if they can't be like that, to kill it and to rebel by starving themselves or eating tons of food, going the other way, who knows? It's a psychological reaction, a negative one, a psychological reaction to people we shouldn't even be comparing ourselves with. The true inner beauty for all of us, not just you and that, not just women, but men, of course. The true inner beauty is Christ. And no matter what we do on the outside, in the inside, we have Christ.